Before I take you back to this episode, I want to let you know that you can book me for training and workshops around negotiation and conflict resolution. And that could be in a half a day, a full day. It can be online or face to face. So just email admin@lifemediation.com.au and let us know that you're interested. And then we work out what it is that you need and how we can move forward.
Welcome to the first episode of Conversations to Cut the Conflict. And today's episode will be all about how to deal with conflict with people you love effectively when you feel very, very stressed. A lot of people have been feeling very stressed over the last couple of months due to all, the challenges in our society at the moment. But in general, when we're stressed, we don't communicate that well, and in particular with the people that we love. So that's what we're going to talk about today and give you some tips and tricks to help you do that much more effectively in the future. So let's get into it. I am Lizanna Eriks. I'm a conflict resolution specialist and I've been a mediator and facilitator for over 12 years. I've been a finalist for the Australian Mediator of the Year Award for the last 2 years, and I train, coach and mentor people to become highly effective in conflict resolution and negotiation so they can create the relationships they want in their homes and their boardrooms. Over the years, I've become deeply passionate about conflict resolution and negotiation because I see how much suffering it is causing people, and it just does not have to be this way. When people truly get how conflict impacts their life and put the work in to get effective at conflict resolution, they get to experience deep connections with other people, freedom, self-expression and love. Have a look at the highlights on my Instagram page, LizannaEriks_lifemediation, to find out more about what I do and why I do it. This podcast is dedicated to bringing you the conversations, insight and tools you need for you to switch on your inner conflict resolution and negotiation muscles and get you to a completely different level where you can resolve conflict powerfully and create the relationships you want in your life. Think about it. What would life be like if you would not be afraid of dealing with conflict and you would deal with it easily and quickly? It would change the game dramatically, wouldn't it? So let's get into talking about how to do this. Welcome to Conversations to Cut the Conflict. Hello and welcome to the first ever episode of Conversations to Cut the Conflict. I am so excited that we're here. And in this first episode, I'm going to talk about how to communicate with your partner effectively in times of stress. We have been in very stressful times of late. The world, as we know, it has been turned upside down, and that causes a lot of conflict, stress, and often very, not effective communication between people. And that's why we're going to talk about what you can do about that, not only in the COVID-19 period, but, in all periods of your life that you might experience more stress. Okay, so let's start talking about how to communicate with your partner in stressful times. So in my job as a family mediator, what I see is that people separate for several reasons, but one of the biggest reasons is that people do not have good communication with each other. And they can look a couple of different ways, right? So one of the ways people, communicate badly with each other is that they stop communicating altogether. And that can be for all sorts of different reasons. People could, have little kids, so they're so focused on their children. So at night, they're just tired and they're just spent and they just don't want to talk to someone else anymore. So they stop communicating. Or sometimes people have the experience that they tried and they tried and they tried and nothing makes a difference. So they're like, nah, I'm just going to stop. I can't be bothered. Or they feel nothing gets ever resolved and it's a similar kind of thing. I can't be bothered. I don't want to do it anymore. So they stop communicating altogether. And because they stop communicating, nothing ever gets resolved. So resentment and, unresolved conflict keeps building and building and building until both people or one person goes, guess what? I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. So let's separate. The other thing that I see with lots of my clients is why they separate is that they have very destructive communication with each other. So they, talk to each other badly. They fight all the time. And it's a similar thing as not communicating, but it looks different. But nothing gets resolved in the end. And again, resentments build up, unresolved conflict builds up. And at one point people go, I can't do this any longer. So this episode is really around, so how can you avoid that? Because when we're stressed, those kind of, not communicating or communicating badly that normally gets worse, because when you're really stressed out or anxious, often there's so much going on for yourself and there's so much to process that you might feel really tired and spent, so you don't want to communicate. Or you're so stressed and anxious and you just have all this anxiety going on that you might, you know, react really angrily to your partner. And what I see is that when we're in relationships, close relationship with other people, so it's, you know, your partner and sometimes with siblings as well, when you're very, very familiar with someone, we have this notion often that we can communicate however we want. If you think about it, like how you speak to your partner, would you ever speak to that like that to a colleague or your boss or something like that? That's how I talk to my clients about it. And most people tell me, no, of course not. That would be really inappropriate. And my question always is, so how is it appropriate to speak to your partner like that? And it has an impact. And I think it's really important to recognize that we get this liberty and this free-for-all of how we can talk, but actually that communication is not appropriate either. And that's the first step to go, okay, so what can we do about that? Because if you keep communicating with each other like that and you have a reason like, oh, well, but I'm really stressed, I can't help it. At one point, it just deteriorates and deteriorates and you might end up separating and not being together anymore. So the first thing that I want to look at is how can you manage your stress levels? Because one of the things that I think is really important is that you cannot make your partner responsible for your stress levels. You cannot say to your partner, well, I feel anxious, so you go and fix it. Because it's your experience. You're experiencing stress for whatever reason. And at the moment, it's very common that people are stressed because, you know, they lost their job. They don't know when they can travel again to see their families. You know, people are sick. There's so much going on. So that's why I'm communicating like that. And I can't help it. Well, I think that you can help it. It doesn't mean that it's not okay to feel stressed. Of course, people feel stressed. It's normal and people feel anxious. Some people feel more anxious than other. But I think the first step is to recognize, when do you feel stressed? Can you actually feel it? So I can feel in my body when I feel stressed. When this whole COVID-19 started, I could sense it in my body that, you know, it impacted my sleep patterns. It impacted other things. So I could really sense it. So do you know what your body feels like when you're stressed? And if you have a piece of paper or you want to pause the podcast, if you're somewhere where you can write it down, think about it. So what are the bodily sensations that you have when you feel stressed? Because that's step one, to actually recognize that. And then to go, okay, what can I do about my stress levels? How can I get my stress levels down? And I give you some examples of what I have been doing. But it doesn't mean those work for you. So have a think about when you're listening to me share about what I have done, what could work for you to lower your stress levels. So one of the things that I found lowers my stress levels is predictability and routine. And it's the same for my husband and for my children. So the first thing that we did, I was like, okay, the whole world is upside down. I am not sure what's happening. I'm not sure where this virus is going. I am not sure how dangerous this all is or what this is going to mean in the near future. But, you know, let's create a routine into the new normal. So because the kids were all of a sudden at home, we're working from home 24/7 together. We're not seeing any other people, like massive change, right? So we created a home routine. So we sat down and we worked out what does everyone need in a day. And part of that, you know, negotiation was around, okay, so my husband and I had to work. The kids wanted to have some purpose. So they were doing some schoolwork. And we also needed to have allocated times for when we would be available to, you know, be with the kids and be present. And when the kids also had to do some stuff by themselves because we needed to do some other things. And what that did is that everyone knew at the beginning of the day what we're going to do. And every day we would adjust the routine slightly, but it really, really worked. It really calmed everyone down because it gave us purpose. It gave us a sense of security. And also it really makes conflict lower in your household. Because if I have to go to my kids or my husband all the time, why are you interrupting me? I'm working. I'm with a client. You guys are annoying me. You're not listening to me, blah, 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 blah. Then that is, of course, you know, it creates conflict in the house. But when we had this routine and I had to stick to my timelines as well, the kids knew when not to interrupt me. My husband knew when he couldn't speak to me, and everyone knew when I was available, and it was the same for them. And so those routines and agreements really make the conflict lower and give everyone what they needed. The other thing is for you to think about what else lowers your stress levels. So what activities, so not necessarily a routine, but what do you like doing that de-stresses you? I know for me, it's exercise. I like to do a workout, well, every day, but I need to move every day regardless. And in this whole new world, I was going up and down my staircase, but that was about it, right? So I put a new routine together where I got up really early before everyone else and I would go for a walk. That really cleared my head and lowered any stress that I would feel. And I get a lot of clarity when I walk. I know that. So it was really, really good for me. And I would do a home workout as well. I went to buy some weights, and when everyone was buying lots of other things, that's what I went to buy. So I could do those things. And, you know, it's really important when you know what that is. For you, it might be that you want to read a book in bed with the door closed for a moment, or, you know, I don't know what it is, but think about what lowers your stress levels. And then if you know what it is, then you can make requests of your partner and say, I need some support with this. This is really important to me. And I really want to do that. Okay. So when your stress is lower, you will communicate better with your partner, because you're in a heightened state of emotion. Your brain just does not operate very well. And we tend to cut corners and just say stuff and don't think clearly. And if someone says things to us, we will get more defenses. So when you manage your stress levels yourself, it will really impact your communication with your partner in a positive way. I just want to give you a quick message before we get back to this episode. You can get full access to free training in which I will give you 3 simple communication techniques that can change everything in your relationship. All you have to do is visit don'truinyourrelationship.com. People pay money to get trained by me, and you can get access to this training for free. So do yourself a favor and make sure you watch this free training now at don'truinyourrelationship.com. The other thing is that a lot of people think when they have conflict in the household, it is a really, you know, bad thing, and they start making it mean stuff around their relationship. We must be in a terrible relationship because we have conflict all the time. This shouldn't be happening. So that's the kind of relationship that we have with conflict. But I'm here to tell you that conflict is actually a really great thing, because it means you are communicating with each other. You're communicating to each other that this is not working. Conflict can just be a disagreement. It does not have to be a shouting match, right? So it's really around that things come up to the surface that you now can problem solve around. And if you didn't have the conflict, you wouldn't even know that it was an issue, and it might be bubbling under the surface and creating resentment anyway. So embrace conflict and see it as a thing that's actually really great to do. I have conflict with my husband all the time. We disagree about lots of things. But it is, we're able to work through it. So I think when you don't feel so resistant, like, you know, what you resist persists as well. So the more you try to resist it, the more it might be there. But it's also around that you go, okay, we're just having conflict. That's okay. But it is around managing it well. And this is where the stress levels come in, and this is where how you communicate with your partner comes in, right? Because sometimes when people are in conflict, they cross a lot of lines with each other. And as I said before, you might not be able to uncross some of them. So the crux of good conflict and positive conflict in your relationship is managing it well, all right? So when you manage your stress levels well, and your partner, it's not your partner's job to do that, you'll communicate better, okay? And you can pause in the conflict if you need it. That's the thing. So you're in the middle of this conflict and you're noticing that you're not dealing with it well, because that might happen. What is it that you're going to do? Because if you keep going in that conversation, you will just have terrible communication. And the more you have that with your partner over and over again, the more in a habit you get of really bad communication with each other. And of course, that is not useful for anyone, right? So one thing that you can do is to try to calm yourself down in the moment and recognize, I'm stressed, I'm not dealing with it very well, and see what you can do. Now, one thing that you could do on the spot is just breathing slowly in and breathing slowly out. But the other thing is, maybe you are so angry or upset or stressed or whatever it might be that you're actually not able to calm yourself down. And there's nothing wrong to saying to your partner or your kids to say, listen, I'm just not dealing with this very well right now. I feel really stressed. I feel really upset. Can we pause this conversation for a moment? I need to calm down. And I will have this chat with you in half an hour or tomorrow and whenever it might be. So then you can have a constructive conversation instead of staying in the conflict. So one of the things that I would like you to do is to really think about what you will do next time when you are in a high conflict situation with your partner. What are the things you can do when you're in the middle of it so you can get yourself out? Okay, I've had times when actually I had this little voice in my head saying, oh, you're taking this too far. And then I still kept going. It's not okay, right? You have to hold yourself to account for that and really stop and go, okay, how am I getting myself out? So think about what you could do. And I just gave you a couple of ideas. So one of them is obviously managing your stress levels, but the other one is to actually take yourself out of the situation and come back to the conversation. Make sure your partner knows when you're going to finish this conversation, because one thing that people do is they walk away from a conversation and ignore the other person or just walk out and slam the doors and never to talk about it again. Okay, so that's not what I'm talking about. You're leaving that that conversation responsibly. So you're saying, listen, I can't do this right now. I'm afraid I'm going to say things I don't mean or things I don't want to do. So, you know, I'm just going to leave this conversation for a moment so I can calm myself down and so I can have a better conversation with you, because I would like to have a good conversation and I'll do that with you in an hour or tomorrow or whatever you might mean. So you're not storming out and not talk about it ever again, because then nothing gets resolved. And that might become one of the reasons that you stop communicating with each other altogether, because that's what happens to people, right? Someone storms out every time and they go, well, you know what? I'm not going to even have a conversation anymore. So it's really important you manage that well. So the takeaways I would like you to take away from this particular episode is to start recognizing, am I stressed? You know, and do you actually know when you're stressed, and start noticing it in your body? What does it feel like? And recognize where you're at. And you can communicate that to your partner saying, I'm just not feeling that great at the moment. I'm feeling quite stressed and I'm noticing that's impacting my communication. And what can you do about your stress levels? Routine, breaks, you know, whatever works for you. Do what you need to do and request those things of your family. You know, you might, it's very normal when you are in a family all together in a house all the time that you don't want to be with people all the time. You know, I love my kids and my husband dearly, but being on top of each other 24/7, at one point I'd need space, and I just need at least once a day, half an hour to an hour, whatever it might be, for myself to recharge and to be able to check in on myself and gather my thoughts and process whatever I need to process. So for me, that, you know, often gets combined with my walks. I go for a walk on by myself. But you might, like I mentioned before, might want to read a book in bed with the door closed for a little bit and ask your family not to interrupt you for a little while. So it is really important to request those things. Your family can't, you know, your partner can't read your mind. They don't know that that's what you need. And it might be super, super important for you to do that, to be able to have good communication, to manage your stress levels, and to, you know, to be the best you can be in a stressful situation. And also when your partner requests that of you, don't just go and go, oh, that means you don't love me, you don't want to be around me. You know, be understanding. It is really normal for people to want to have some space by themselves. It doesn't mean they don't love you. It doesn't mean they don't have you know, a great relationship with you. They just need some time and space to be by themselves. So accommodate that. So you could do the routine, you could do the breaks, and if you need support, ask for it, okay? Sometimes it's also okay to say, I'm not coping very well today. You know, could you please help me with the kids a bit more, because I'm just having a bad day, or yeah, whatever you might need. But the crux is ask for it, and then your partner can help you with that. If you don't ask, you don't get. That's what I always say, because again, people cannot read your mind. We also say things like, oh, but they should know what I need. Well, I think, you know, your partner is not going to read your mind and is never going to be able to, so that's never going to change. So don't expect that. That just creates unnecessary conflict. And then the third thing we talked about is think about what you will do next time when you are in a conflict situation. You're in a heightened state of emotion. You're in the thick of it, okay? So breathe. Take time out of that conversation and take responsibility for your stress and take responsibility for your responses. So if you go and do all those three things and put them in place, I am pretty sure that your communication with your partner in stressful situation will come a lot better. Thank you for listening to this first episode of Conversations to Cut the Conflict, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.